Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And if you didn't pay attention, folks, it's been kind of a weird couple of weeks because the news just keeps chewing its own cud. I mean, they're interesting, but they're the same stories over and over again. For instance, every night for like the last week, right? I've been talking about New York Congressman George Santos, seen here showing off your grandpa's watch. But I'm not going to talk about George Santos tonight. Tonight, I'm going to talk about Anthony DeVolder. That guy should not be in Congress. And don't take my word for it. Just ask his former roommate, Gregory Maury Parker. Can you imagine being roommates with George Santos? Sorry, Gregory, I don't have my share of the rent yet. I needed to use that money to pay for my mom's third funeral. It just won't take. According to his former roomie, Santos had some problems with the truth.
He lied about his family having a home on Nantucket and the Cape.
His mother was a housekeeper in Manhattan, and it just didn't seem feasible for him supposedly to come from all this generational wealth.
Okay, that makes sense. But what if the money came from his dad, the famous man from Nantucket, who's, was so long he could, People pay a lot of money to see that. Maury Parker has always been suspicious of Santos, but started to doubt himself when Santos won his recent election.
But then I thought, well, maybe I was wrong, after the election. Because I'm sure the DCCC, and the RNC would have, investigated him, and at least his opponent would have done some op research.
That's a good point. All of this info was online. Did the DCCC lose Wi-Fi for an entire year and have to go analog? Huh, nothing about George Santos in the Britannica. Let's check the Farmer's Almanac. Now, to be clear, Maury Parker never had any problems with George Santos because he never knew anybody named George Santos.
I've always known him as Anthony DeVolder. Never known him as George Santos.
I also knew him as Anthony Zabrowski.
Yes, he knew him as DeVolder or Zabrowski, but this trickster is known by many names. The Norse called him Loki. In West Africa, he is Anansi, the spider. To the Navajo, he is Coyote. And the ancient Mayans called him that lying asshat. One of his Catholic... What? Oh. You speak Mayan. I didn't know that. That's funny. One of this Catholic politician's most famous lies so far is that he claimed he was Jewish. Or, as he tried to explain...
I'm Jew-ish.
Well... Now, his roommate tells us one of the reasons he claimed to be Jew-ish, it was to aid his sham charity.
He had a pet charity, Friends of Pets United. It was supposedly to help out with, sick animals and things like that. He used Zabrowski for his Friends of Pets United, his GoFundMe. And he would say, the Jews will give more if you're a Jew.
So, not only is he a liar, he's anti-Semitish. So what is this charity? Santos raised money for something called the Friends of Pets United, but no surprise, the IRS has no records of a charity with that name. Okay, but have they checked for Friends of Pets DeVolder? And the particulars of what Santos did with this fake charity are pretty bad, but don't worry, they get worse. Buckle up, because allegedly one of Santos's victims was a disabled veteran who was taking care of his beloved service dog, and they were living in a tent on the side of a highway. The dog needed surgery, but it was going to be expensive, so the veteran got in touch with Santos' charity. Santos set up a GoFundMe for the dog's surgery, but when it reached $3,000, he closed it and became increasingly difficult to contact, even though the vet kept calling Santos on the number Santos gave him, 800-588-2300-EMPIRE. Well, there it goes. Thank you. I trained for a while. And yet somehow this gets worse. Because when the veteran finally got a hold of Santos to schedule his dog's surgery, Santos refused to give him any of the donations, saying he would take the money and use it for other dogs. Yes, other dogs like Max and Skipper and Rover DeVolder. When he heard this, sure. 800-588. When he heard this, even Kevin McCarthy said, that's it. George Santos has got to go sit on two House committees, small business and science. Well, those two make sense. I mean, Santos said he has a degree from the Bill Nye School at the Shark Tank Academy of Business Science. He even played for their volleyball team, the Fighting Barbara Cochrans. Santos is not the only cuckoo dum-dum who snagged a committee seat, because Marjorie Taylor Greene will be seated on the Homeland Security Committee, where she'll finally be able to investigate the gazpacho police, as well as the Campbell's chunky-style border patrol. And now, for a more fun, lighthearted topic, House Republicans are preparing an emergency plan for breaching the debt limit. Okay, breaching the debt ceiling is a complicated topic, and I don't want to get too technical, so all you need to know is, Okay. Here's the thing. The United States, we borrow a lot of money from a lot of people, and the United States has to pay its bills, not just because it's in the Constitution, but because we are in deep with some serious people. That's why the old poster goes, I want you to pay our bills, or they're gonna take my thumbs, Charlie. So, what does the GOP want in return for not shooting the world economy in the head? Well, reportedly, some Republicans plan to ask for spending reductions to entitlement programs such as Medicare and Social Security. Really? Yeah, that's what I said. They want to cut two of the most popular government programs in history? Well, I guess that'll free up money for their new initiative, Drowning Kittens and Slapping Your Mom. Last Friday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen wrote to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy warning that the U.S. will reach the debt limit on Thursday, January 19th, 2023. Well, 2023, that's got to be years in the future. When is that, Apple Watch? If, in fact, we reach the debt limit tomorrow, which is like in 10 minutes at this point, Treasury Secretary Yellen says they'll shuffle some money and do some economy stuff, and we won't actually default until early June. So, metaphorically, tomorrow, the GOP will merely tie the U.S. economy to the tracks in the path of a very slow-moving train. Luckily, that's Joe Biden's favorite vehicle and his only speed. Okay, elsewhere in the cycle, I got all the time in the world. Don't worry about me, man. There's controversy in America's frozen food aisle, Alaska. Last September, Alaska was hit with a major typhoon which caused flooding and wind damage. FEMA came in to help, like they do. Just one problem, there's a large native population that speaks their indigenous languages in Alaska, and FEMA's translations of this important information was just a hair completely wrong. For instance, when Native people tried to get paperwork on disaster relief aid, the instructions had phrases like, your husband is a polar bear, skinny. That is either confusing nonsense words or Gen Z slang I haven't caught up with yet. Your husband is a polar bear, skinny, no cap, fam, big sleigh, boots down the house, mama, drip. Oh, no. Boots the house down. Boots down the house. Huh? There you go. Obviously, people need accurate information in an emergency. You don't want to be trapped in a raging inferno and be told to stop, drop, and chubby narwhal. Turns out these weird and insulting translations were done for FEMA by an outside company, and I'm being told we have an image of the company's CEO. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Trevor Noah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back, everybody. My first guest tonight is a comedian, author, and the former host of The Daily Show. Please welcome back to The Late Show, it's Trevor Noah. Nice to see you. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, Stephen.
Nice to see you, too. Thank you for dressing for the occasion.
I tried.
Not everybody understands. On a late night show, you should wear a coat and tie.
No, I mean, this is...
Hey, I'm wearing a hoodie.
I like this, you know? I mean, yep. The hoodie days are over for me. I know. Well, actually, they've just begun.
I know. I know. Well, congratulations on your post-Daily Show career.
Thank you, my friend.
Congratulations
you
on
much.
Your run over there for
thank
the
you
past
very much.
7 years.
Thank
definitely
you.
Made the place your
thank
own.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the support from the beginning. I really
you got it, brother. So now, you hosted your last Daily Show, as the people who don't know, last month.
Yes.
Do you ever, even at this point, because after 7 years, doing 160 a year, something like
right,
that,
right.
You ever wake up in the morning and go, what am I doing on the show tonight, before you realize you don't have to do that tonight?
No, you know what? That took, I would say, 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then I realized, oh, no, I don't need to know. I just don't need to know.
Do you not follow the news?
No, I follow the news, but I don't need to know. And I can choose when to follow the news. So before it was, you know what it's like. Wake
sure.
up, what's the news? Go to sleep,
oh, go
what's
to bed
news?
Before you go to bed,
everything
you're
is the news,
yeah.
is the news. I was telling someone backstage, you know, like, I remember there was one Met Gala after party I was at, and you're at this event. It's amazing. Everyone's having a good time. You know, there's people dancing. There's Rihanna, there's Harry Styles. And I'm in the corner. I'm like, is the filibuster tomorrow? What is happening tomorrow? I got to remember. What's happening? Oh, yeah, the death ceiling? Is that what's... It's
wow.
like, no, no.
Wow.
So now I decide when to yeah. consume news.
You're a really good dancer, by the way.
Thank you very
even
much.
Even fake dancing,
that's
that was really good.
That's my...
That was really nice.
Thank you very much. That's my...
Let me ask you. So that's what's hard about it. What did you love about it?
I mean, number one, the people.
Mm-hmm. The people you got to work with.
Yeah, the people I got to work with. You said something that inspired me for my entire run at The Daily Show. You were doing an event, I think it was in New Jersey. You were at a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the audio from this. And this was maybe right before I started hosting The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And you said that people mistake the joy that you express on the show as you having the joy of doing the show on television. But actually what this is a manifestation of the joy that you've experienced creating the show with the people you created with.
Exactly. I say
yeah.
we do the show for each other all day.
Yeah, and then
and
you get to share it.
And it's my responsibility
this is the
and privilege
yes.
to share with the audience what we already did with
right.
each other today.
Like all the things that everyone here experienced live that yes. maybe people on TV won't. Like
yes.
we share that, right?
Yes.
And then the things that you and the writers experienced, that's mm-hmm. that's everything. I'll miss all of that. I'll miss the people, I'll miss the culture, I'll miss the vibe.
What about the grind? Because I remember
I
you
and I will not miss the grind.
I miss the grind because
no.
we were having dinner together. Somebody else was having a dinner party. We were both invited
yes.
to it in the spring
yes.
of 16. And we were both in our jobs about the same time.
Right.
And I said, so what how's it going? And you said, I'm paraphrasing here, was like, I did not expect the pace to be this relentless.
No.
And I said, well, you got to kind of love the grind. You have to like kind of eat the grind. It has to kind of feed you.
Yeah.
And you have to lean into all that stress and anxiety.
For people who don't understand what this is like, making a daily television show in many ways is like planning a wedding. Imagine planning a wedding. So you're thinking, who are the guests? What are you going to wear? What's going to happen? Who's going to be making a toast? What will the speeches be about? What's everybody eating? Who's sitting where? How's it all going? And the wedding happens, and then you go, all right, we're doing another wedding tomorrow. And it's like...
you got about 5 minutes
you don't even
after
get
the show
to have a honeymoon.
To enjoy
There's no honeymoon.
That's
There's
it.
No moment. So
yeah.
I do miss the discipline. I do miss the joy that came from cracking that nut every single day.
Yes.
But I don't miss the grind. I miss thinking about things more as well now. So something happens, and now I miss... Like, I enjoy the fact that I just get to sit and be like, huh. I don't have an opinion yet. I just
well,
don't have an opinion
lovely.
Yet.
That sounds lovely. What about, how often did you get back to South Africa? I know when you first started, you were going back a ton.
Yeah, I was. And that's probably...
Every weekend?
No. I used to go back every third weekend.
But still a lot.
It's not, I mean, but it's home.
It's a 16-hour flight.
Yeah, but that's like driving through the tunnel.
I guess so. That's fair. Once you're in, you're in. That's fair. We have to take a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Trevor Noah, that guy right there.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
That fella right there, that's Trevor Noah. Okay, in February, I don't have the date yet. February 5th, which is a Sunday. You are hosting the Grammys.
I am hosting the Grammys.
Third time, very nice. I think the Grammys has got to be the best award show.
By far.
It's the most entertaining because the people are doing entertaining things.
Well, this is the thing I try and tell people. You have to be a fan of the Grammys because you are invariably a fan of music.
Yes.
And the thing I love about the Grammys, selfishly, is every time I go to the Grammys, I discover a new artist that I didn't fully appreciate and I didn't love for the reasons that I should have. So, you know, you go to the Grammys, you know the artists you know, all right? You'll know Beyoncé, you'll know Adele. You'll be like, oh, okay, I know these people. And then you'll discover artists who'll change your life. They perform live in ways that you couldn't have imagined. Like, Brandi Carlile became an instant favorite for me.
Sure.
Every single time she performed at the Grammys, in rehearsals, you know, the rehearsals the day of the show, the live show, I was watching this person go, how is this a human like being? How is she doing this? Mm-hmm. This is like this is AI. It's too precise. It's perfect. Yeah. But like you experience music in a way that you know, and you're a big fan of music. But anyone who is, it's wonderful to see. It's a different way to experience it. It's a concert for everybody, and you see artists jamming to other artists. That's my favorite thing. So you'll see Bad Bunny mouthing along to like a Taylor Swift song, and you're just like, what? Look at this.
One of the weirdest things, I've never hosted, but I did like an opening, like 10-minute set once many years ago. And, you know, I'm making jokes about Jay-Z in the front row. And then I go backstage and I'm just chilling for just a second. And there's Beyonce and Lady Gaga and Slash and Robert Downey Jr.
It's
like,
insane.
This is the craziest group of people.
Yes, it is completely in, it is everybody's bedroom poster come to life. That's what the Grammys is.
Okay, so what was your first concert? Speaking of people who love music.
What was my first concert? So I couldn't really go to concerts when I was a kid. My mom, I grew up very religious, so I was limited to gospel music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's all I could listen to, gospel, and then, like, church rap, like, Christian rap, which isn't as cool as it doesn't sound. and so... I remember there was actually a talent show at school, and they were like, everyone should come and perform their song. And I had this this Christian rap CD that my mom bought, because everyone else was listening to rap, and my mom wouldn't let me listen to the rap other kids were listening to. And then I was like, I got the rap that I'm gonna... And I came into school, and they're like, Trevor, what's your song? I was like, I'm gonna rap. And they're like, go. And I was like, give me a J. J, you got your J. Give me an E. E, you got your E. Give me an S-U-S. And I saw the crowd, like, everyone in the school was just like, is he spelling Jesus? It was, yeah.
Quick, what rhymes with Ecclesiastes? Well, you know, gospel to pop music, it's a small hop, though.
It is, actually.
Mavis Staples said that when they were switching over from gospel into pop music, they just took all the Jesus and turned them into babies.
It actually works.
I love you, Jesus.
It actually really works, yeah. Yeah, and when you see the parts, you know, like the Arethas, the everybody. I mean, there's definitely a link, because music is still music at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think my first real concert was called a Peter Stuyvesant Spectacular. Back in the day when cigarettes were allowed to advertise things, there was a concert in South Africa, and it was everybody from like Keith Sweat to Naughty by Nature to, I just remember, it was everyone and everything at the same time. And there were three stages where everyone was performing simultaneously, which I think they thought made sense at the time.
And like so it was a circus?
Yeah, it's like you'd be watching, you know, someone performing, and then you just hear on the other side, baby, baby, and now. And then everyone would scream, ah! And you all run to watch that, and then you hear somebody singing on that side, and you try to run to watch that. And
how old are you at this point?
How old was I? I don't remember.
I'm afraid that's the end of the interview. I'm sorry. I don't have any questions after that. We have to take a little break here. Yeah. We'll be right back with Trevor Noah, everybody.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
There, you know him. That's the host of this year's Grammys, Trevor Noah. You, I'm glad we have you here, you know, physically tonight.
Oh, boy.
Because there's been some danger in your past.
Oh, boy.
You recently when did you do this?
So this was over the December holidays.
Oh, so you leave the show,
yes.
And you're like, you know what? I'm going to get the hell out of this country. You go to Costa Rica.
Yeah, that's my annual trip. So I've been lucky enough to have the same group of friends going on, what are we now, 14, 15 years from South Africa. We all started our careers together, different paths, different journeys. But every year, we make sure that we go on a friend's trip. Doesn't matter where it is. Sometimes South Africa, sometimes, you know, it can be California. This time was Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And we do something that we don't really want to do for the experience. You have to. Like, I force everybody.
Like, don't want to do or, like, that scares me or something?
Yeah, like, that don't want to do. So people be like, I don't know if we want to do that. And I'm like, that's why we should do it. And so this year, I picked whitewater river rafting.
Okay, so here, this is in Costa Rica.
Yes.
And this looks like a pretty vigorous river.
It's fantastic.
Okay, so
it's fantastic.
Here you are.
Yeah.
About to go over the falls. And
right.
that's you right there, right?
That is me right
there.
That's
you lying down.
So
not just paddling.
So just so people understand, like, the guide. No, you're not supposed to. There's points where you paddle and there's points where you don't. And you have to listen to the guide who's on the back,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So our guide, Chico, he was telling us, he's like, guys, you're going to be paddling. When I say stop, you stop. You put the oars up. When I say paddle, you paddle. Go, right? So yes. I'm listening the whole time. Like, stop, go. Stop, go.
Yes.
I've got it. That's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Right? And then he goes, we're coming to a rapid. It's going to be great. I was like, all right, we're ready for it. Rapids are great. Rapids are cool. You go through a few. You're like, this is easy. This is fun. And then it's not.
We'll take them through the process right here. Okay.
Right. So this is joy.
This is joy.
This is
fun.
This is me realizing that, oh, this is what I've always wanted to do. This is fun.
Right. Okay.
So that's now not me anymore. That's actually my friend Anele, and she has flipped upside down, as you can see. You've got to admit, it's a pretty amazing picture.
It is.
It's just to have your shoes.
Sure. It's a wonderful picture to look at.
Yes. But when you're in it, it's cool because you don't know that it's happened yet. You've done river rafting, right?
I have, yeah.
Have you ever gone out of the boat? No,
my mom popped out of the boat.
Oh, wow.
That was shocking. The photo of me at that point is we're all in the boat together at the top of the rapids, and then halfway over the rapids, just me going... And my mom is gone over here.
Yeah, because you don't know, right? Uh-huh. That's the crazy thing about it is you don't know. But, and then the next thing you know, there's no boat under you. The water's on top of you. The boat's on top of you. And then you're like, oh, I don't think I'm in a boat anymore. But you still have your paddle.
And this is well past when you've realized what's happened.
Yeah, so that's the face when I realize that I might... No, but to give you full context, I was having a good time until one of my closest friends decided to pull me down into the water to try and lift himself up, which I understand is a common... This is a common thing that happens in water.
You look buoyant to me.
I've been told that many times. Thank you very much.
And you said that river rafting is this experience is a metaphor for life. How so?
I truly think it is. I think in life, you know, you're on a river. You can't control what the river's going to be like. There's going to be moments where it's beautiful and calm. There's going to be moments where there are rapids that shake you up. You don't know what your life will be like. What you can control is the people you're in the boat with. And so I'm glad I chose those people for my life, for that boat ride, for that journey. It was
knowing
wonderful.
That one of them would try to drown you it to get out of the river.
He didn't try to drown me, try to save himself. And in the process, he pulled me down.
He wasn't trying to drown
it,
you.
It was
merely
amazing.
Didn't care whether you lived.
My
That's
life
all.
Flashed before my eyes. Mm-hmm. You know what no one tells you when your life flashes before your eyes is that you also remember random things.
Well, what
everyone
you?
Thinks it's going to be like, oh, when you were born. When
yeah.
I was just like, ah, oh, that's where I left that controller. It's like random things like that come into your head.
Yeah, there it is. That's exactly right. So you're back on the road on a comedy tour.
I am indeed.
Okay, well, how is that? Now, you get to go out there and live the life on the road, which you did for many years.
Yeah.
Is that fun for you? Do you enjoy that?
I love it. I love it. I miss meeting people in person. I miss meeting people where they are. The thing I loved about The Daily Show was I was in a world where I was consuming the news constantly. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I didn't enjoy about it was that the news was often defined by a place. Oftentimes it would be the coast or where like the news organizations are. Yeah. But you wouldn't get a real sense of what people are experiencing. And so what I love about doing stand-up is I get to bridge the gap between what I think I know about a place and its people and what the people actually think about the place and the people who are there. So, mm-hmm. I have ideas of Georgia, but then I get to go do shows in Georgia and I get to meet Georgians and I get to talk to them and I go to a diner and I go to cafes and I go to restaurants. You know, the same thing in India. I have ideas about India, but then I go to India. And I think each time it refines me, it changes my point of view, it gets rid of some of my biases, gets rid of just some of like the ignorance that we all have about places we don't know about. So I love that part of the journey. And then on Monday, I don't have to worry about, is it George Santos? Is that his name?
Sometimes. That is sometimes his name. I agree. Going on the road and meeting the people is the best thing.
It's amazing. It really, really is
amazing.
Before
we got to go here, but I got one last question for you. We talked about this a couple years ago when you were on here because you play Shuri's AI bot, Grio, in the Black Panther universe.
I do.
Okay.
I do indeed.
And I had forgotten this. And I had some of the cast on, and I wanted to go watch it recently, and I went, why is that voice so familiar? Because I'm listening to the iPad. And I went, that's Trevor.
Yeah.
That's Trevor. And everybody's like, it is? I looked it up. And I said, oh, yeah, I forgot he is. But I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay, go.
Okoye is, like, being attacked. Shuri is on the ropes.
This is true.
And you're saying, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Like, some urgency from Grio, please. It sounds like you don't care what's happening to these people.
I hear what you're saying, Stephen, and I think...
That's the kind of voice I don't want to hear from
no,
Grio.
No, but you see, Stephen, as an AI, what I try and do is get into the role of what I'm performing. I'm an actor in that moment, Stephen.
Okay, oh.
And so now imagine if you were talking to your AI. Imagine if you pulled up one of your devices and you said to your AI, you were like, call 911, and Siri was like,
No, wait, stop. Cancel. You literally... I had to cancel it. Siri was calling 911.
And then it heard me screaming, now someone's on the way.
Exactly.
Now someone's on the way here right now.
You can see Trevor hosting the Grammys on February 5th on CBS. It's Trevor Noah, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.